Welcome to the Hockey Show on ESPN Chicago. The very latest news and analysis from the NHL and Chicagoland Hockey. Presented by Four Winds Casino and brought to you in part by Nancy's Pizza and your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Now here are your hosts, Barstool Chief and Pat Boyle.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome in to the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. Barstool Chief, I am Pat Boyle. How are you doing, Chief?
I'm in the holiday spirit. I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm doing great. I love we're back in the State Street Studios. You get more the holiday vibe when you're looking across at Chicago Theater.
It's beautiful. I see lights on the street lights here, the Christmas lights. So, yeah, everything's... How can you not like this time of year?
And we've got a hockey team that is feverish right now. Two straight wins.
That's a win streak.
It is a win streak.
Is that the first win streak of the year?
No, it's a second.
Okay.
It's a
building blocks.
Building blocks. Yeah, haven't won three in a row in a couple years, but we're aiming to do that tomorrow night.
We'll see what happens. The Kraken. So that's a winnable game. This team... And this is, like, I've been so fired up since Anders Sorensen took over. The team looks better. They're more fun to watch. They're creating more. It's entertaining. They've been 3-3 under Anders now, right? Six games. They've gone from dead last to tied for dead last, and I am over the moon.
Baby steps.
Yeah.
No, so I saw something last night that, first of all, they come back from two goals down and score three unanswered in the third.
Mm-hmm.
And it was exciting. And I saw something on the way out, finish the post game show, walk out to my car, and there's about 7-8. I'll say they're either freshmen in college, home for the holidays, somewhere in that 19-20 years of age range.
Mm-hmm.
Decked out in their Blackhawks gear and fired up. They were mini Chiefs.
Oh, I love that. Chiefs Army.
They were Chiefs Army. They were fired up what they had just seen, mm-hmm. and it just hasn't been that vibe. And again, you have to zoom out and not, you know, realize that they are still tied for last. You know, you have to look at the pieces that we're watching on the ice that are the future. The Nazars, the Korchinskis, of course, Bedard.
Yep.
Vlasic, and when you see them together excelling and finally putting some offensive firepower on the board, under Anders, they're up over a half goal per game over these last six.
Great, and we won't talk about the amount they're giving up.
Now that is,
I don't care.
Well, it wasn't working the other way.
Correct, and I've always said, I don't care about the result at the end of the day. As long as they're playing well, you can see some development, you get some hope, and you're entertained. And I have been thoroughly entertained since Anders Sorensen took over. So I will put my hands up and give two thumbs up and say, hey, let's just keep this going. And if you lose against the Kraken, but you keep doing the same good things, the same good habits. And I'm also surprised how quickly, seemingly everyone has adapted to the new system too.
Yeah, not bad.
I would say darn right good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it explain that to the hockey novice out there. It's a 2-1-2-4 check.
Yep.
It's a little more aggressive than the 1-2-2 that they were kind of sitting back.
Yeah.
And so you're sending more forwards to pressure the puck and hopefully create turnovers and more offense.
And it's working. So they're creating, it's discipline because it's not a straight 1 or 2-1-2 all the time. Sometimes it's like more of a, I don't know, like a 1-1-3 or something like that. Like they're able to read and react and play off of that. Kaner got a goal while we're sitting here. Go ahead, goal in the third. My boy Patty Kane, still love him. Still has my heart. But
mine too.
Yeah, that system where it's like, all right, like we are gonna be aggressive, but if it's not there, like if there's no point to sending two, they're not sending two. Like
they're
like the guys have seemingly a little bit more freedom. And they are creating turnovers. They are creating havoc. I also, in the end zone play, the breakouts, centers, like, again, I don't know everything, but they seem like they're lower. So, like, they're starting their breakouts from lower. They're helping out more down low. Hopefully that helps as they grow in this Anders Sorensen system. They're a little bit better defensively. But Bedard hasn't looked bad in that role. Reichel hasn't really looked bad in that role. So the only guy that I like him a lot, who is struggling under both coaches, I would say, is Kurashev.
For sure. Healthy scratch last night.
Yeah. So that, and they do have, you know, they got some guys that are like, who are you going to take out of the lineup to get Kurashev in there? You're not going to take Frankie out right now.
No. And the other thing that Anders likes is the D joining the rush. And we've seen a lot more of that.
Yes.
Coming through with some big goals.
Coming through big goals, and also with that same system, I feel like they're gapped up a little bit tighter.
They are because
they have to be supported.
Exactly.
Yeah. So now that'll be a struggle for Seth Jones when he comes back. I don't think that's not going to really play to his strengths, but it's good for Korchinski. It's good for the other young D who can really move and skate and play in transition a little bit better on both sides of the puck. So I like it. I'm entertained. I have been happy watching the Blackhawks, and that's all I can ask for.
It is the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. We're presented by Four Winds Casino. You can get a hold of us at 312-332-3776. Let's go to the phone lines. Tom, New Jersey, is first to join us on the Hockey Show. How are you doing tonight, Tom?
Wonderful, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Happy Wednesday. Most importantly, Merry Christmas and best wishes for a happy, healthy New Year to you and your families.
Thanks, Tom. Same to you.
So I attended the Blackhawks-Devils game on Saturday. Unfortunately, we lost. We gave up all those goals so quickly. I just wanted to get your thoughts on a comparison of where the Devils were years ago when they were struggling, getting all those high picks. And now, you know, they're legitimate contenders. And a comparison between Jack Hughes, who's turned out to be a pretty good overall player, number one pick, like Bedard. Although he did have Jasper Bratt and Nico Hischier there before he got there, do you think Bedard can be as good as Jack Hughes? And do you think the Hawks someday can do what the Devils did in a couple of years?
All right, Tom, thanks for the call. Chief?
I would hope that at minimum they can do what the Devils have done, which is, I think, win one playoff series with Jack Hughes. So in 2 years, that actually might be a little bit premature.
Right.
But that is the goal. And that I've seen a lot of people make the Connor Bedard, Jack Hughes comp. Because Jack Hughes really strugged out of the gates as an 18, 19-year-old kid. And then something kind of clicked and he figured it out. And he's become one of the top centers in the league. He's on Team USA, all of that. I do think that Jack Hughes has that extra gear skating speed-wise, which Bedard does not have at this moment. Maybe he can get a little extra burst this summer if he, you know, hits that squat rack and, you know, works on his skating, gets a half a step quicker. But, yeah, that's the goal. Like, you want Bedard being around 100 points, and then, you know, the cavalry of the young guys is coming. It was Frank Nazar's here, Korchinski's here. They have another top five pick likely coming again. And then hopefully Oliver Moore and Renzel, and they all start to come in. And then hopefully you wake up in 2027 and we got an awesome team.
Right, right. Because, like, Hughes is now with, you know, on the same team with Hischier, another number one overall pick.
Yeah, and Hischier was not hyped to the moon the way some of these other guys were, but he does a job, and he's a guy the Hawks desperately need, which is a real two-way center, a guy who's pretty good on the draws, can play in all situations, and can provide offense, but he alleviates some of the responsibilities from Jack Hughes defensively.
All right, so Connor Bedard played in his 100th career game yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And we compared him on the pregame show to other number one picks through 100 games. So Bedard has 87 points. We have relatively like 14 number one overall picks. Crosby leads the way, had 132 points.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that works. Ovechkin follows McDavid. Kane had 96. Austin Matthews at 90, and Bedard is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, sixth on that list.
Yeah.
At 87. Below him, you want to hear some of the names?
Hit me.
Nathan MacKinnon, Nugent Hopkins, Taylor Hall, Stamkos, John Tavares, Hischier, and Hughes, and Lafreniere. So you talked about, and they're not even close.
Yeah.
Tavares, Hischier in the 60s. Hughes with 42 points. So it got us to thinking, you know, our poll question tonight, how would you sum up Bedard's first 100 games? He's exceeded my expectations. It's what I expected. or he didn't reach my expectations.
Yeah. You want me to take the floor?
Sure.
I would say it's a little bit below what I was hoping for and anticipating. So it's great numbers, especially when compared to those other guys. I do feel like he did come into a worse situation probably than a lot of those guys. But watching him in junior, and especially that last World Junior Championship where he was just, he was untouchable. That goal against Slovakia where he gets the puck in overtime and weaves through everybody, has this incredible goal. I'm like, he's going to come in right away. I thought he would come in right away and be a point-per-game player. And he's not that far off.
No, he's not that far from that.
Not that far off of that. And he did have the jaw injury, and he does have, you know, not a lot of help around him.
That's where, I mean, you had expectations watching him in World Juniors and in the WHL against inferior talent, obviously.
Totally, yeah.
But he comes to this level. We still don't have a line for him.
We don't have a line for him, but I will say the last, even a little bit going back before Sorensen, he started to, it felt like something clicked. Like, he was playing a little bit more confidence. He's
attacking
through the neutral zone with the puck. Like, you can tell when he's feeling it, where if he's looking at three guys kind of on the three defensemen at the blue line, and if he just is like, I'm splitting these guys, then you're like, all right, like, he's feeling
it. You saw that last night.
Yeah.
He did that, you know, against a team that played the night before and may have been fatigued, but first place team in the Eastern Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And knifed his way through, like you said, zone entries are up.
Yep.
His time with the puck is up. His shot attempts per game is up. His scoring is up. I mean, all things are trending in the right direction. And you talk about his confidence. Did you see after he scored against the Islanders last week, he had a in-between period interview with Darren Pang? Listen to the chirp he had with Panger.
That was a good shot. That would have beat me on the glove side even.
I think anything would have beat you on the glove side. So.
Thanks, Scott.
Have a good one.
Yeah. Thanks, bud.
All right, that seems like a little thing, but for a 19-year-old who doesn't love talking about himself all the time and who was just on Canadian TV a few weeks ago in Vancouver saying he was, you know, mentally fatigued by what has gone on, it's his, you know, it's his fault that the Hawks are struggling offensively, that's quite a turnaround to have, you know.
A little lighthearted mid-game.
Exactly.
Feeling better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's great to see. And, you know, I do think he is this innately, like, confident guy because he's been killing everybody since he was probably 6 years old. He's probably been the best player on the ice. And it reminded me of the interview you did with Kane back in January before he got traded a couple years ago, where Kane told a story of, what is it, the body armor? One of those sports rings up there.
Yeah.
And they have this camp for all the NHL guys. And there's a two-on-one, and Bedard looked off McDavid. And it's like, I love that.
Yeah.
Like I don't need to pass you the puck. I'm going to snipe it. That was the other thing. Like, I was anticipating that shot to come in, and, like, he's just going to put up 30. Like, that's – and he hasn't really unleashed that. He is more of a playmaker than I anticipated him being. And you even saw that the other night where he kind of had – that he made a great play on his own entry and fed it across to Taylor Hall. It was like an extra pass, which I don't hate, but it's like, you have a lethal release. Just let it rip, baby.
Yeah, he's got to shoot the puck more. I've talked about the backhand needs to be worked in a little bit more.
I think that's going to have to be worked on over the summer. You know, like, I don't think he's going to really improve that this year. That's like a Kane thing. He'd go away in the summer. He'd come back with a new trick in his locker.
Yeah. So, hey, I love where Jack's going here. Jack in Lincoln Park joins us on the Hockey Show. How you doing tonight, Jack?
Good. How are you, boys?
We're doing all right. Hawks have won two in a row. It's the holiday season. We're getting pretty fired up here.
I know. Well, at this point, Chicago fans will take two wins compared to none. You know?
It does. It works.
Yeah, I just wanted to call it. Listen, I am not a puck guy. I'm not a big puck guy. I catch as many Hawks games as I can. Obviously, it's harder to now.
Yep.
I wanted to sort of pick both of your brain on this, though. I view Bedard and Caleb in a very similar fashion where, like, both of them were, like, unanimous first overall picks. They both were, like you just said, Chief, how, like, he's been dominating the ice since he was 6 years old. We can probably say the same about Caleb. So I was curious, in terms of expectations and the question you asked, Chief, on Twitter, do you guys see that, like, the expectations are similar? Because obviously Bedard, while the Blackhawks sure, I mean, they sure didn't win last year, but, like, now that they're winning some kind of games here, it's like we're catching a little bit of heat. So with that, like, do you see Caleb in the same way that you did Bedard last year?
All right, Jack, thanks for the call. I like where he's going with this. Yeah. We've used the comparison before on this show.
I'm an idiot, and I thought the Bears were going to be pretty good this year. And I went to the Monday night game in Minnesota this week, and I got sculled into oblivion by all these Vikings fans.
You wanted to fly at home at halftime.
I looked at changing my flights. I was like, if I can get a flight out at 11 or something, and I will leave at halftime. And it was that. It was so depressing. That first drive, Caleb got absolutely murdered. Oh. It's like the old line from the movie Friday Night Lights, where like, I hope we can just bring all these boys home. And the only boy I really care about is Caleb. So I was hoping Caleb would survive the game.
Everybody was ripping him for that, you know, leaning down on the bench for a second or two. I thought he should have been in the blue tent being evaluated because I saw his head bounce. I didn't have this viral reaction that everybody else, Hot Take City, had on, you know, and captures the 1 second that he's down there and, like, hate the body language, shouldn't be sending this message. I thought he should be evaluated for a concussion.
I would have put him in an ambulance. Just get a police escort out of here. Not even like a regular ambulance. One of those airline ambulances where they fly out the helicopter. Just get him out of here.
Get him on the same flight as you. Hey,
yeah.
Caleb, you and I are going back to Chicago
early. I'll hold his hand the whole flight. Be like, it's going to be okay, man. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
So in terms of the comparison.
Dr. Chief is here.
Just emotional support. I would say that Caleb, he's older. I was anticipating a better year. I thought the Bears would be good, and I thought they had more around him. I was way wrong. Like I said, I'm an idiot. I will never believe in the Bears again until they're kneeling down to win the Super Bowl. So never again. It's different. It's apples to oranges. I think the Bears are in danger of ruining Caleb. I don't think Bedard can be ruined. I think Bedard is going to be a very good player. Whether or not he's the best player in the league at some point, I don't see that happening. But I think he's going to be a very good player regardless of what happens. So I am genuinely worried about Caleb, and it has nothing to do with Caleb.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can draw comparisons. First of all, you make the great point of the age difference.
Yeah.
You know, Connor could still play in the World Juniors right now if he wanted to.
Yeah.
He's 19 years
right.
of age. And, you know, Caleb's...
I just had a flashback to Stan being like, no, Doc's ready, and then bring him up at 18, and then the next year be like, nah, we're actually going to send him to Canada for the World Juniors and the AHL. Like, what are we doing?
And then the wrist injury and all that.
What are we doing?
So, and the fact that he's not surrounded by the best line mates or highly skilled line mates, you could look at Caleb in the O-line. As far as coaching goes, I think that's the other part of this equation. We don't tend to talk in the National Hockey League about he's an offensive-minded coach,
right.
He's a defensive-minded coach. But the reality is this. Luke Richardson played 20-plus years as a stay-at-home defenseman. His forecheck was a 1-2-2, basically saying, I don't want to get blown out. I'm going to keep this game close.
I wonder if he knew... His contract was up at the end of this year. It's like the old adage.
And this,
like,
was the last year guaranteed. It was a team option for next year.
Right. So if it's one of those, it's the old cliche, he was coaching for his job.
Yes.
And last year.
And he was.
And last year, they got smoked in transition. They got absolutely hammered in transition. So he's like, I'm not going to get beat that way again. So I don't buy into he was a stay-at-home defenseman for 20 years, because we've seen him run other things in the past couple of years. This felt like, I'm going to make a tactical change, and if we lose 2-1, so be it.
I'm just surprised he didn't flirt with changing it in season when the results were in every game, within a goal in the third period, but we're losing them all.
And he tried to change everything else. Lines positions,
changed every game.
So I think Richardson was, I think he was just at a loss. It was time. It was like he pulled every lever he thought he could pull. Clearly, he didn't think to pull we're going to change everything structurally. And that's what needed to be done. So, and a new voice helps too. And now you're seeing Hall, Bertuzzi, and Teravainen, the guys that you really like, those were your supporting cast. They're all playing much better now.
All right, we're going to talk about the players that have had an uptick under Anders. Our poll question, how would you sum up Bedard's first 100 games? He's exceeded your expectations. It's what you expected, or he hasn't reached your expectations. 312-332-3776 is the number to get a hold of us. It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
This is ESPN Chicago, WNVP, WTBC, HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
The Hockey Show, Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans. Listen on the ESPN Chicago app from anywhere.
The Hockey Show on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
And give it away to Teravainen, and he'll bring it out. Passes across, Mikheyev shorthanded, makes a move, right in, scores! A beauty by Mikheyev, shorthanded, a one goal game. Classic up on the rush, carries in, Teravainen feeds it over, Mikheyev turning, drops it off, shot by Brody, scores! TJ Brody ties it up! Plays it back to the line, Murphy shoots, turned away by Thompson. Donato, Hawks applies some pressure now. Cuts in front! He's gone! Donato tucks it in! 2:18 to go! Hawks take the lead!
Good time at the United Center last night. That was the call from Rick Ball on CHSN. I don't know if you had on your bingo card, Chief, Mikheyev, Brody, but I know you had Ryan Donato because he's got his team-leading 11th goal. Never saw that one coming.
Looking like a nice player, looking like a guy who might fetch us a draft pick at the deadline.
That's a good point. That's a good point. It is the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. Show is sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago and Nancy's Pizza. Talk about the bump that other players are getting. I guess with Mikheyev scoring in back-to-back games, he's a part of that conversation. But how about the week that Teuvo Teravainen had? Saturday night, after they played in Newark in the afternoon, lost to the Devils, Teuvo was told that he was going to sit on Sunday against the Islanders at the United Center. Well, Nick Foligno comes down with the flu or a cold or whatever, and it comes to, and he's not going to be able to play on Sunday. So they put Teuvo right into Foligno's left wing spot on that third line. He goes out and has 3 points.
Yeah.
And then he backs that up last night with three more.
Three little apples, yeah.
So he went from the doghouse to the penthouse in a matter of, well, you know, a teammate gets ill and he gets inserted. Phil Kurashev was waiting to find out. Taylor Hall didn't go to morning skate yesterday. He was under the weather, but was able to go at game time. And so Phil Kurashev was a scratch. What do you think it is? Like, do you think something flips for like Teuvo, where it's like, look, I almost lost my gig here, even though probably would not have been more than a game or two.
Yeah.
And you play differently. Like, take me through the psychology part of that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that would be. I mean, he's too good of a player to be this bad for this long. So I think it is maybe not so much the psychology. Maybe it's more like he was due. Like, he was due to break out. He seems more confident. They all seem more confident. And maybe he just has a little bit more license to attack and create. I would keep bumping him up. Like, he was one of those guys that was signed to be on Bedard's wing. Let him do it. And so I really love the idea of Teuvo, Mikheyev, and Bedard as your top line. So you get the forecheck in. You get a guy who's responsible defensively. He can He's known for creating turnovers. He's a good defensive player. And then he can finish the other end and create the other end. Like, he's a high IQ guy. He'd be great with the dart. That, I feel like, would make some sense.
Yeah. And Mikheyev's gotten an opportunity up there. I know he's scored in back-to-back games.
He's limited in some ways.
He's got great speed. Hands,
not the best.
Not so much.
Yeah.
So I just feel like, man, we're really playing him a line or two above where he should be. It's like
totally that's the case, but it's one of those things where it's like, you do your job, okay?
Right.
We don't need you to be stick handling, dangling around people. get your ass moving, get in on the forecheck. And he's done that. Like, he's been a pretty effective forechecker since Sorensen took over. I saw him create a turnover, I think, in the Islander game where it was like he pressured the puck, he's halfway up the wall, F2 comes in, gets it, and now they got a scoring chance out of it. So I think that it's, hey, it's not ideal right now. Tell guys, make it simple for everybody. Mikheyev, you go 100 miles an hour on the forecheck, create havoc, let the other guys clean it up, and have fun.
All right, let's Bill in the Gold Coast wants to talk about Anders Sorensen and the bump that he's given to this team. How you doing tonight, Bill?
I'm doing well. Good to hear from you guys, as always. I guess my question to you guys is, what is the level that we have to be happy with for him to kind of secure the job for next year? I know that this is kind of a trial run, but if he's, like you guys have mentioned, he's getting through to Tavo, he's getting through to other guys who've gotten a bump out of him becoming the head coach. At like, what point are we saying to ourselves, why do we have to go look for somebody else if this guy's getting through to the talent and we're succeeding? Because I don't see the point of us just dropping him for nothing. Like, if we're having success and the players are growing, keep it going, you know?
I like, you know, where you're going with that. I think, first of all, I think you got to do your due diligence no matter what.
Yeah.
No matter the improvement they have in the standings, the development he has, the connection. I think at the end of the season, when all the candidates are available and not in season, I think Kyle has to do an exhaustive search. But you know exactly what Anders has done. You know what he's done at the AHL level. You know how he's developed players there. And we will see the remainder of this season what he does at the NHL level. You know, my biggest thing would be like command of the room. Mm-hmm. I do believe there is in modern professional sports something to be said about how one carries themselves in, like Carberry, for example. Like, yep. It's no surprise to me that they're doing well in Washington. You watch that guy, he's
got it.
You sit up.
Yep.
You're like, oh, mm-hmm. Hey. Yeah. Coach is here.
So I think it's twofold, because he is the developmental guy at his core. Next year's team is going to be as young or younger than this year's team. So you need that at the NHL level, AHL level. Like, you need him to be bringing these guys along, whether it's Levshinov or Korchinski, or maybe it's Del Mastro or Nazar, Oliver Moore, theoretically, at the end of next year. You just don't know. You want that type of a guy. They're not going to be results-oriented again next year, so I'm fine. I do want to do the due diligence, do all that. But if they feel comfortable with him in a developmental role and he's able to connect with the older guys like Teravainen and Bertuzzi as well, then fine. Then keep him. But yeah, I would assume Davidson's got a list already, whether they have a job right now or not. And he will go through that list and then make a decision. But I'm not opposed, I guess, to the idea of Sorensen sticking around.
Who's next to be called up from Rockford? And do the Hawks have a goalie situation on their hands with the play of Arvid Soderblom, and now the fact that he has to go through waivers before he would be sent back to the AHL? That story and more on the other side. But first, every Wednesday night during the regular season here on the Hockey Show, Four Winds Casino is giving away a $200 gift card. Be caller 10 to win. You must be 21 or older and must live in Illinois, Indiana, or Michigan. The Hockey Show is coming right back after this.
The Hockey Show. When you're at home, don't miss Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000 with Barstool Chief. I'm Pat Boyle. We're presented by Four Winds Casino. 312-332-3776 is the way to get a hold of us. Trades, we're starting to see more trades in the National Hockey League way ahead of the trade deadline. And we saw one today that we could see tomorrow night at the United Center,
mm-hmm.
in Capo Caco.
Yeah. So it's a crazy draft. That draft went Hughes, Caco, Kirby Dach, Bowen Byram. He's also been traded. In his career, he's supposedly on the block again. So that draft, you just never really know, because everybody's super excited when you get a guy, you get a top five pick, you expect him to be a franchise type guy. Sometimes it just goes sideways.
I mean, look, the Rangers team has gone sideways. President's Trophy a year ago.
Yeah.
And they trade Trouba. They trade Kako. They are
Kreider's on the block.
Kreider's on the block.
Which is insane, because Kreider is like a 40-goal guy. He's been there for his entire career.
I mean, Chris Drury is dealing with shrapnel everywhere.
He's blowing it up. And, you know, it's like, did they wait too long to do some of these trades? Because they were in on Gensel, you know, last year, and they didn't want to give up, a first round. It was like Kako and a first for Jake Gensel while they were trying to win a cup. And it was like, does Drury regret not pulling the trigger now?
Well, do you want to know what he got for Kako?
A bag of pucks.
Oh, yeah, he got defenseman Will Borgen and a third and a sixth round pick.
Yeah. I think you probably sold low on that one.
Yeah.
But there's probably no market for him, though, either. Like, no, Kako, he's just, I don't know. And who is the other kid who was with Winnipeg? I'm having a bad brain moment. But he was the number two pick. He came out of the chute. Now he's with Columbus. Another Finnish kid.
Yeah.
We're both having bad brain moments.
Right.
But, Laine. But it's just like, you know, it's hard. It's so hard to build a winning team. And I do think there is this, I always just be like, hey, everyone, just like, we got to chill out. We got to temper our expectations. It's not going to be like last time. It's not going to be like you draft Tays and Kane and you already have these other guys go win multiple cups.
Yeah, Bedard's not coming to a team like Kane did. It's apples to Kiwi.
You hope the order is reversed and Rinzel and Levshinov and these guys, it's like, all right, Bedard was here first. He's the Rizzo of this rebuild where he had to, you know, have a hard years in the standings while he's developing at the major league level. And then all of a sudden it's Addison Russell and Javi Baez and Chris Bryant and you're in the NLCS. So you hope that they're kind of doing it in that order. Obviously, they're not on that same timeline as these prospects are coming up. But you do like that. That's going to be more of the model. And you hope that they can continue to rework and supplement the roster around Bedard to give them what he needs. Because he needs support, too. And he needs guys. They need guys to do different jobs that they just don't have on the roster.
I think Colton Dock's going to be the next player to come up from Rockford. He is totally been the power forward that you would want to see. And
that we don't have.
No. And he's putting up points. He's got 19 points in 25 games. He played a lot this season with Nazar.
Mm-hmm.
So you have got possible opportunity there. That allows you to maybe put Hall with Bedard or, you know, work with some other things that you're trying to do to find the comfort zone for Connor Bedard. Let's go back to the phones. Mark in Lincoln Park, you're next. How you doing tonight, Mark?
What's up, gentlemen? Thanks for taking my call. Good time, Patty Boyle and Barstool Chief. I'm happy to say I was your first caller when the show came back. You guys asked me to call back.
Thanks for calling back.
Thanks for calling.
I listen every week, guys. So, Connor Bedard, Barstool, you just stole my thunder. you just stole my thunder.
You've been listening to the show too much.
Well, they are building in reverse of what you were saying of the former, like the Cubs. I get it. So Bedard, in my opinion, you guys asked what our opinion of him is. He's a post-adolescent, small body guy that needs a ton of edge work. He's got an incredible shot, and he's got an incredible hockey IQ. He needs to be developed. They're not going to do it down in the AHL because he's too gifted. Pat, you gave the numbers how he's number six of the guys that have played the 100 games.
Right.
That's an amazing stat. However, watch his edge work, watch his skating, and watch his size. Last year he got his face broken, you know, in the first couple weeks. He's a small kid, and you guys have said it. Surround him with the right talent, and you can develop that kid. Then you got to bring everybody in. And let's remember the Hawks, the winners of the Stanley Cups, there's at least four Hall of Famers on that thing
and a
Hall of Fame coach. I mean, that back end and the front end and Hossa, those guys were crazy good. Tays, Hossa, two-way players. Kaner with the edge work and the hands and the IQ. You know, the guys want to compare Bedard to Kaner. He was faster. He's a different skater altogether. He's a one-way forward. He doesn't forecheck. You know, he's in there for the shots. Where Bedard's trying to do it all, but he's slow. He He's a kid. He's post-adolescent. That's all I got to say. Sorry. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
All right, Mark. Yeah, thanks, Mark. First of all, I do think he's improved his edge work. I think it's noticeably better than it was a year ago.
Yeah, I think that's always been a strength, and I think that he the last 2-3 weeks, he's been using it more. But yeah. You're right. Like that, because he's not going to be able to dip his shoulder and beat guys wide, and he's certainly not going to be able to use his strength to hold guys off. Although, and he does need to physically develop. He is a kid. Mark was right. But that picture of him at the combine, I'm like, wait, is this guy absolutely jacked?
Yeah, he is.
And he is.
And his quads are
he's
insane.
Trees. Yeah. Like he's an animal. But he will get. He'll eventually have a man body, and that'll help him certainly. But he's right. Like, and that's why I like this system they're doing more, because when you create turnovers, you're naturally going to get the puck with more space than if you're just trying to come in off of like your standard entry, where it's just like everything's going to be clogged up. So when they're able to create these turnovers and these little mini odd man rushes, he's going to flourish, and I think we're starting to see that.
And we've talked about it. Does he ultimately move to wing?
I still think that's true.
Where, like, in the development process or the decision making, what year does a GM and a franchise make that, which is a major pivot?
Mm-hmm. And is that a pun? A pivot?
Yeah.
Okay, good. But that is, I don't know if it's one of those things where it's like, ideally, he's a center. So you give him and they don't have any other ones on the roster now. So you might as well see if he can grow.
Well, Nazar, you hope is.
But I think he's a wing too. So, but you're right. You hope he is. And they are playing him lower, which allows a guy like Nazar to be F2 sometimes, where he comes through the zone with speed. Same thing with Bedard. Bedard's not, he's not a burner. I wouldn't say he's slow, but he's not like that. You know, he's not Kirill. He's not Frankie Nazar. He's not one of those types. So yeah, I think he'll eventually move to the wing. But in the meantime, when you don't really have a ton of centers and you want him to be a center, centers are inherently more valuable. Let's see if he can do it.
Let's squeeze in Rick in Knoxville. Rick, how you doing tonight?
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
We're doing all right.
Good. It's great to hear your voices. Again, I don't know why everybody in this country isn't listening to this show. It's literally the best show out there when it comes to Blackhawks hockey. So I got to start. I got to pick a bone. Chief, did you really pay money to go and watch the Bears on Monday night?
No. That was an ad deal. We did that deal with Portillo's. It was a great time. Shout out to Portillo's. But when we were looking at that in August, when we did that deal, it sounded like a great idea. We were watching Hard Knocks. I'm like, yeah, that'll be a great game to go to.
We're going
to
see
playoffs on
the line.
We're
going to see Kevin Warren's masterpiece. Yeah, right, yeah. I see how great this stadium is.
The stadium was awesome.
Wait, is it awesome?
They did this thing where they blew out snow indoors pregame and a couple other times. And I'm like, this is awesome.
How was Vanilla Ice, by the way?
Awful.
Was he?
Horrible. Yeah. His mic didn't work.
Wow.
He did two songs. The first song, they had to cut his mic because it was getting the crazy feedback. And then he did Ice Baby and brought the house down. So
nice.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Well, I had to start there. I just had to give you a hard time because I saw that. And I was astonished.
I could barely watch
it on TV.
Yeah.
So, but hey, a couple things. First, I wanted your opinion on does Kyle Davidson have what it takes to be? Is he the GM of the Blackhawks future? Nice guy, but does he have that killer instinct in him? I don't know. I haven't seen that out of him. And then the other thing.
I'll jump in real quick. When it comes to taking beloved players and not offering them deals. I mean, he may have made some really difficult decisions.
He canned Richardson, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's shown, honestly, quite a bit in his few years on the job.
That's true. That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, you're right. Then, number two, I think that the Blackhawks are going to be in a tricky position. I don't know, out of the three goalies that they have right now, between the guy that's not even touched the ice, and then Soderbaum, as I like to call him, who's been playing a lot better.
He's been very good.
I don't think that we have one true number one goalie. I think they're all very. Peter's been very good, very very good, like above expectations. Mm-hmm. But are any of those guys long term answers? And then the other thing that I love the Cubs analogy that we've been saying. When it comes to the coaching stuff, like we've talked about, we've got to find our Joe Maddon next year. And I'm not sure that our Joe Maddon is in any of the what we have right now. And the last thing that I'll say, there's a long list. Yep. Sorry.
Oh, that's
sorry.
Right.
Last thing is, are you at all worried about Bedard leaving? I know that's a long ways off, but do you have any concerns?
Let's tackle some of these. Let's start there.
We'll do one at a time. Bedard is not going to leave. This is the only organization that can give him the full 8-year deal. So he's a restricted free agent. If he did get an offer sheet, the Hawks would match whatever it is. I had the thought where if his production is about what it is now, that's not the worst thing in the world. Because then you might be able to get him, you know, 8x10. And then hopefully in 3 years, that's like the biggest bargain in the league. In theory, the goalie situation is very interesting in the short term too, because Brossoit is going to come back, and I think Soderblom would get claimed. Like he's been there.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's no question.
I think
they're going
to have to carry three goalies.
I think they'll. So Brossoit is looking at maybe like 4 weeks from now he gets reevaluated. He's looking at a late February return, best case scenario.
Yeah,
he would go to Rockford and get some rehab.
Okay.
Assignments. Like you said, you could not slip Soderblom through waivers.
Right.
So you would have to keep him up here. And you got Mrazek and Brossoit both with 1 year remaining on their deal after this year. Mm-hmm. Look, if you think Soderblom is potentially a 1A or 1B for you when you are going to be competing, you got to keep him in the fold.
Yeah.
And you work around that. Is Drew Commesso going to be the other 1A or the 1B? Too early to tell. Again, we talk about timelines. Corey Crawford was in Rockford for 6 years before he got his bite of the apple
and
in the NHL.
And he did the full run in junior. So yeah. He was 26 when he came up.
So they tend to, you know, their window to, you know, begin their NHL career is more late 20s than it is early to mid 20s.
Right. Like Igor doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, no.
So Shesterkin, like that's more and more rare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then there was at least two more questions.
Not worried about Bedard.
Oh, who's our Maddon? I don't know if we're ready for.
Yeah. Like that Maddon thing, they got him and it was a year early, but it was his second year they went to the NLCS.
Yeah, 2015.
First year. Was that his first year? He might have been there 14 too, but. They really like that's a move, that's a 2026 thought.
Yeah. We'll have the results to our poll question when the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show.
Pat Boyle hosts Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans.
The Hockey Show on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
You need more cowbell, you need more Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
Apparently. Callers love it. We have to go to 2 days a week.
The Brandel family has been calling nonstop. The Boyle family will, in 2 weeks, we'll resume this because we're going to, because of Christmas and New Year's falling on Tuesday and Wednesday, we're going to be off the next 2 weeks. Thanks to our producer, Kevin Zipak and Jack McGrath. Thank you for calling. And you've got the results to our poll question, which was... it's been 100 games for Connor Bedard. How would you sum it up?
So we had 5% say that he exceeded expectations. So you guys are setting the bar kind of low, I would say. 58% won it about what you expected. And I think that's probably fair. I am in that 37%, which is he's disappointing. It's not like he's a bust or anything. I intentionally did not put that on the poll because he's a very good player. He's just... I was hoping that he would be closer to Crosby than to Hughes, I guess.
Yeah, I think considering the talent level of the team and his size, it's about what I expected.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I certainly want more, and I think he wants more, and the team wants more.
And I think he'll get
more. And
I
think he will deliver. You used the comparison to Caleb. I am more concerned about Caleb reaching his potential than I am Connor. I think that's a pretty accurate view of this situation.
Yeah, and I do think Caleb can be the best quarterback in the league at some point. I'm not sure that Bedard can be the best player in the NHL. We'll see. But yeah, I think he's going to be, he can be a very important piece. And like Kane is the guy we know the best, as came in as an 18-year-old. But Kane, you know, he was a wing, and he also, I would not say that he was ever the best player in the league. He still won 3 Stanley Cups and was a huge player. He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Sure.
So Bedard can be that level of a guy. I don't think Kane was ever going to be the, like, Kane wasn't doing it by himself. So if you get him, enough guys around him, Bedard will eventually come good.
Happy holidays. Have a great Christmas
same
for the family.
You,
and we've got the Winter Classic coming up in a couple of weeks on New Year's Eve as the Blackhawks take on the Blues. We will see you for that in Wrigleyville, and I'll see you tomorrow night as the Blackhawks take on the Kraken. Try to win for the first time since February of 2023. They're trying to win three
straight. Let's get it done. Let's get it done.
All right.
Keep it rolling.
That's going to do it for the Hockey Show.